Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Super Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and boy howdy, am I not looking forward to more Simpsons discourse in about 2 years from now. And with me, I have...
Wake me up when September ends. Oh, wait, that's already now, isn't it?
Fuck. And...
I didn't know Young Thug made a song for the Call of Duty multiplayer lobbies.
Oh, there are implications there. I'm not sure I want to be told right now.
You know the album he released last week, which it's on the cover, right? Him is white.
Huh.
And of course, one of the songs is called Ninja, and well, let's just say he dropped it. Well, let's just say. He dropped the N-word, except with the hard E-R.
Huh.
I believe Tom Breen of Stereo Gum said it best. Young Thug's new album is a big mess.
Man, I apparently, am glad that his music is not a priority for me.
Ugh.
Instead, I torture myself with different music. Be prepared for the next roundup. I am going to go fucking ballistic.
Also, this thing is 20 tracks long. Why?
Oh, God.
Hey. I am not touching this ever.
I ain't touching it either. In fact, my September listening list is kind of low. It's low as fuck.
Look, we can cross that bridge when we get to it. We'll talk about what we liked. We'll bitch about this or that thing. There may or may not be a presidential impeachment involved, if you catch my drift. But here we are, episode 410 of this dog and pony show called a podcast. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Oh, God, it's not been good. It's been busy with people everywhere, and I'm so tired. My voice is hoarse because I've been, it was one of those days where you come home, you slam the door, and you just scream.
Good Lord.
Yeah, people are terrible, and, yeah, that's all I got to say. People are terrible, and I want to find time to go see the P.T. Anderson movie, or what he's been talking about, because I want to, but I don't have the time, or the energy, or the anything, because the world is terrible.
And how. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, not much is happening, just the usual work and shit, and right, and at least I'll write some new things, that I should have my blog soon, just, maybe in a month or so. And if you listen to this, well, by the time you are, it's October, and I don't know what day this is going to come out. But yeah, on Friday, I will officially be 35.
Woo.
Yeah.
Well, to borrow from Scrubs... 35.
Oh, yeah, right. I just remembered that reunion thing's happening at some point.
I'm just going to ignore it.
That's a thing.
Yeah, the revival's been a known thing for a while.
Oh, that's right. Is that, and I don't know, I mean, not really much for me to say anything on. I mean, I could suck something up. The new anime season, but that ain't started yet. I mean, well, technically, a few new shows started. Mainly that one, Cat's Eye remade, reboot, whatever the fuck you call it. The one that apparently is doing 6 episodes for October and the rest, like, near the end of the year. Okay, what kind of fucking thing is that?
It's very weird and stupid, and nobody knows why.
Why can't people be normal with shows? Week after week, it's simple, straightforward, because it fucking works.
Or at least, if you do it that way, at least put it, I don't know, put the other one in November so I could actually watch it in the season and not just, I don't know, at least do it like that. Shit.
I never thought I'd say this, but Disney should be more like Amazon. Because Amazon, they got sauce. And they can do it weekly. They can put out, week after week, a truly amazingly crazy adventure in the world of animation. And City is pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's really sad when you as a streamer are getting smoked by Amazon, having, like, two of the must-watch comedies, not just of the season, but, like, of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, anyway. As for me, well, I spent a bunch of money on video games. Hades 2, Deltarune Chapters 3 and 4, Sonic Racing Crossworlds, and Silent Hill F. I'm going to be a very busy dude. Also, then your latest updates on King of the Hill Watch. I am now far towards, like, the tail end of Season 6, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm getting a little bit concerned. So, first of all, I mean, this isn't a concerning thing, but I never realized that That's My Purse, I Don't Know You, and Pocket Sand were in back-to-back episodes in the same season.
Season 6. This is where, let's just say there's gonna be some shifting in showrunners. Because Greg Daniels is going to be busy doing other things going forward. Some show on NBC based off another show from the UK. Something about an office or whatever. Probably not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Wait, he worked on that show?
Yes. Yes, he did. Greg Daniels did do that.
Yeah. Huh,
now you tell me. Can you tell I never watched The Office at great length? But, okay, so interesting there. Also, some shakeups in the status quo, specifically the Bobby and Connie breakup saga. But what's kind of concerning me is I'm getting the feeling here, possibly because of the showrunner shifting, that the show is kind of starting to struggle to find ways to fill 22 minutes of television at a time. Because there, it just seems kind of all over the place with, like, hijinks and shenanigans, like the running storylines of Peggy trying to find more full-time employment, Bill going nuts with the tank, that whole thing with Joseph questioning who his dad is. I mean, there are some decent episodes. I do like Connie joining the guys in a bluegrass group. But, like, overall, it just kind of feels like, again, it's really just all, like, here's a good example. You want to know the last episode I actually finished watching? A-plot. Luann and Peggy join a cult. B-plot. Hank and the guys try to get back some emus that Buck Strickland has. Like, you kind of see what I mean? And also, that kind of reminds me, this season has had very little Luann. Or John Redcorn, for that matter. Like, yeah, that just clicked for me. Like, those two characters are kind of absent for a lot of the season so far. Also,
this is the point where there are going to be some shifts in the direction, let's just say, mainly because you're going to get new showrunners coming up after this season, like, permanently.
Yeah, I suppose so. Also, I glanced towards the season finale, and all I have to say is that why people say King of the Hill is anime?
Well, you're going to have plenty to dig into, because you're not even halfway finished with the show.
No, I am not.
You're not. In other words, you're not halfway there. Halfway there. Yeah, you're not.
How dare you mock me with SpongeBob references? Anyway, so that's about all that on my end. So now let's jump into the usual business. Of course, starting with the new song discussion for the past week. And as always, there'll be a playlist down in the description. You know, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, mark your calendars for any interesting new albums, all of that fun jazz. So, how are we starting off this week? oh, hey, look at that. Time to get into the dope game.
Ah.
It's Bruiser Wolf.
Yeah, yay. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so he's been doing well this year, considering I'm out like a couple of months back, and I got a new single which feature frequent collaborator being the Butcher, because he's on that album, and of course produced by Mr. La Musica the Hairy Fraud. Title's called Raised by Dope. And
oh, really? I never would have guessed.
Yeah, and you see the album cover of. I want to say a growling dog wolf in a leisure suit. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I kind of like it. So I gotta say, this fucking hits. Like, of course, the way Bruce Wolf starts off, like the way he starts off, he says, "I remember Ross with members of my caucus. He's sucking my head like she's eating a crawfish. Had a scrub like a dolphin. For your ages, you see a picture I'm painting and trying to face it. You don't want to smell my money fried, my cream cheese. Be Jordan, you get different creeds. You can hang with the killer, swallow. Wallow, I'm do magic like Paolo. Hit it with the Quattro. Ace it on Guapo. Add a couple of shots of Blanco. Ain't gonna survive, bro. Take a picture of the net like a slash show. Smoke one with the Ritz to it. It's not like... I don't cut it or cut a holes. I pour a bottle of model holes like don't drink none of the G thing. Almost kilo. It, basically, the word dope should describe everything here. Like, of course, Bruce Wolf is dope. Benny has a solo verse. The beat is dope as always. That's all I gotta add. This song is fucking dope. And if I hear both from Bruce and Wolf this year, or at least for the remainder of this year, they're like, okay, I'm into it.
Heh, dope. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. A interesting announcement in terms of collaborations. So, on the one corner, we have Real Bad Man. A name that I feel is... Didn't they work with IDK on an album? Like, one of the early IDK albums?
Yeah, I think he did. There's also another artist that he worked with a lot, especially an artist that he mentioned a lot. Who could it be? Oh! Boldy James! Of course.
Come on.
Of course.
Come on, Boldy James, you're slacking! It's been a month! That's like a million years in Boldy James' clock time! Sorry, I lost track with that joke. There were supposed to be two people on this track, right?
Yeah, the other musician is Genevieve Attardi, who you're about thinking, who the fuck is that? Well, here's a little bit of info. They're part of duo of Knower. Knower, okay, the other half of that group, the other half of that duo is Lewis Cole.
Bitches.
Yeah, and also she has been working on this stuff. Like she did do some vocals on his album Nothing last year, which, you know, album of the year. But yeah, so they have a new album coming out this week, which is called Everything is Under Control. Okay. All right.
Is it really?
I don't. At this point. Anyway, we got two new tracks from them. First one is okay. I think I just want to describe both of them for me because I got more to say for because I got okay. The tracks are Don't Got to Think About You and Little Claws, and I gotta say, okay, the setup freaking is like, okay, this is like something that will be at the and Genevieve's direction, like. Haven't listened to some stuff from Knower, like, okay, like, I mean, it ain't exactly Lewis Cole, but it's like, hey, okay. I didn't think the guy who produced for Boney Jenkins would do some shit like this, but it does need more that, you know, that basically that she does, like, okay, like, don't gotta think about you, it's about basically celebration, basically the end of a recent unhealthy relationship. It's like, okay, basically, like that shit is what I got. And okay, I will say that the drum leader is like, okay, I'm trying to think about, you know, okay, real Batman is doing a lot of different shit. He is doing a different shit here with different genre. You know, I thought, man, okay, it's kind of catchy. Like, I can definitely say, all right. Little Cross is decent. Like, it is. I want to say, maybe not catchy to me, but still, like, yeah, I can still dig it. But this is strange, okay. And there you go.
I mean, I can vibe with this a lot. Like, it's got this very, like, dreamy, hazy, electro synth pop thing sort of going on. You know, kind of like the stuff you listen to on a drive in the 80s with your shades on. Like if anybody remembers that short-lived Comedy Central show Moonbeam City, it's kind of like that. I'm still mad that show never got a season 2.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Comedy Central, well,
you bastards.
Don't give us a chance anymore.
Yeah, Comedy Central treats their animation the way Shonen Jump treats half of the series entering their magazine. Adios in 6 months. At least Ichi the Witch stuck around. That series has the sauce. But now let's move on from chill to absolutely the opposite of chill. So as we all know, the Acacia Strain are set to drop a new album October 24 titled You Are Safe From God Here. I doubt the truthfulness of that sentiment, but we have yet another new single here called Swamp Mentality. And goddamn, that is a fat fucking guitar tone right there. Some of the finest and filthiest I've heard in core music in a while. Laying down plenty of sick chugs and tremolos that boom and explode through the mix as the song shifts from slow deathcore to rapid-fire grinding tempos. It's another song in their discography, and from this release cycle, it's kind of like pretty short, absolutely punchy, just like fucking leaves dents in the pavement. Probably the nastiest single released off this album cycle so far. I'm digging this a lot.
Well, this sure is spooky and heavy and just in time for the season of Halloween Eves or whatever it's called. And the video is pretty funny too. A rare feat in the scene nowadays. I mean, if we can't laugh at Gwar doing their crazy shit, then what can we laugh at now?
Oh, you absolutely can laugh at what Gwar is doing. Just ignore those shitheads that are pretending to be offended.
I always do, because their opinions mean less than dick to me.
But yeah, this is a funny music video. It's almost kind of like an intentionally terrible Tales from the Crypt fan movie. But moving on from that... For actual Halloween, as we know, the band Chatpile are teaming up with avant-garde guitarist Hayden Pettigo for a new album titled In the Earth Again. And we have single number 2 here called Demon Time. Now, probably the most noteworthy aspect of the song in comparison to the previous single we did get is that it is completely drumless. Not an ounce of drum in sight. So without that kind of tempo grounding, it kind of lends itself further to this sense of ominous drifting weightlessness, contributed by the stuff that actually is there. Again, Pettigo's guitars that are very beautiful, melodic, while also being kind of minimal in their composition, contrasting against occasional bursts of low droning bass. It does really well to sort of help accentuate the sort of anxious lyrical mentality of the Chatpile side of things. When you're listening to just, like, these muttered lyrics like, "Hey, stupid eyes, there's no turning back now. They will find you and they will fuck you up." All of that works really well to kind of, like, lock you in the mindset of a paranoid, self-loathing individual, as is the style for Pile, comma, Chat. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna be all in on this one when it drops.
This all feels like the kind of intro to an analog horror video that leads to all kinds of wild shit going down, especially the VHS quality video, so I'm certainly perturbed by this, but in a good way, I think.
Yes. Sicko's meme, yes! yeah, that's certainly something, all that publicly available footage of things. But now let's move on to the next single. Wait, didn't FKA Twigs already come out with something this year?
Yeah. Oh, apparently, like, yes, it's a new album. It's not a deluxe edition, as you know, as it stated. As yeah, it's called You Sexual Have to Glow.
I still don't understand that combination of letters.
Her thing is like afterglow, a visible waterfall as you lead the rain, searching your next wonder. Give her your consent to kiss, especially caress your naked skin. Sex will strip you down, and the aftermath is hungry, raw, and ready to be adored. Okay, so we got a new single called Cheap Hotel, which, okay, as weird as FKA Twigs me, it's like, it's the weird that's like, okay, it's just kind of, okay, I'm like, at first I'm like, I could be into it. I mean, the music sounds right, like, it does start off kind of, very steady tempo, like, okay. It goes out, and then it very slows down to, like almost to a chopped and screw level. Not exactly was like, okay, what the fuck's going on? What the fuck is going on? And I can say the same to the music video, or basically the short film, which is basically, I guess there's a pimp running around, and he's checking on his girls at a hotel, and then into the room was like a bunch of girls doing a bunch of weird shit, bunch of crazy shit. And the ending, well, I just think your reaction to that is like, imagine if Hank Hill walked into that room.
Whoa!
And yeah, that's even on the comments, on the post, it says, yeah, I was like, what the fuck? It's like, okay. On one hand, at least it's something. I didn't mind the first album of You Sexual, despite saying the name. Like, okay, yeah, that sounds weird. It's like, huh. I mean, I could probably say, If y'all didn't get it, I kind of get it. I mean, I get that if most people are like, what the fuck is this? To me, it's like, you know what? You're weird as fuck, but I'm gonna just go along for the ride.
Yeah. I know I'm supposed to care, technically speaking, but like, FKA Twigs' music has always been kind of low on my priorities list. I'm pretty sure I still haven't listened to You Sexual in full. I'm not sure I'm going to, or this album. The only thing I'm going to say is that I kept wondering where the music video ends and the music actually begins. This whole thing kind of gave me Aphex Twin Window Licker vibes.
Oh. Except
without the freaky prosthetic faces.
The thing is, like I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell what the music either begins or ends, or, like, yeah, that kind of confused me, too. Like, what the hell's going on? Maybe I should just listen to a song instead, or I don't know. I just want to get the full experience, but whatever.
It is what it is. Anyway, let's move on to the next track here. So, again, as we all know, in a few weeks, Tame Impala is set to release their long-awaited new album, Deadbeat. And we have single number 3 here, titled Dracula. Get it? Because October? Heh? I actually don't know if that's the joke here or not. But I mean, it's probably my favorite of the singles so far, just in terms of like a pure beat and everything. It's got a pretty tight groove, kind of sounds like it could be like a synth pop remix of like one of the rare good Justin Timberlake tracks. Plenty of Fall on the Floor kicks, some really funky, slick guitar chords, all kind of bleeding in and out of the synths and all. And of course, it's very lyrically romantic with those kinds of allusions to Darkness and Dracula and all that kind of stuff. I don't really have much elaborate analysis, but I mean, it's got a good beat.
Yeah, I can say sonically, this is the theme song that kind of dug this. Like, I think this is like, okay, I can dig into this. Like, it's sort of the sound what got me them in the first place. I mean, it it has a good groove, has a good beat to it. Yeah, it's all good.
All right, now we move on to the final track here, and certainly kind of a wild announcement here. So, Danny Brown, on top of scaring the hoes again at some point in the near future, has announced a new studio album for November 7th. So, yeah, pretty soon after Quaranta dropped, we have more new material. It's called Stardust. And it's got an interesting tie to some of his more recent activities. In the past year or so, we've been getting a few one-offs here and there that have shown him hopping onto tracks with a bunch of hyperpop artists. And the trend on this record is basically going to be all about that. Looking at the features list, there's quite a lot of notable talent in the genre, but just to name a few, you have the likes of Quadeca, who I believe recently got the Yellow Flannel treatment from Fantano. 8485, Jane Remover, Frost Children, and quite a few others. Interessante. Very interessante. That's Spanish for interesting. I learned that from Peggy Hill. But yeah. here we are with the first single here, Star Burst. And this is absolutely just like that. Just all over the place, kind of maximalist sort of production. You know, you have like these blown out kind of vocal samples playing on top of these like sort of janky hip hop trap drums. And that's just kind of the first half as it's let Danny Brown lay down all kinds of wild, sick bars. And then the back half in particular, not only is more and more like fragmented with a lot of like, saturated, cranked up bass synths, but there's also tons of, various jittery stop and start, chord rhythms that almost kind of sound like the more frantic sort of Sophie tracks. I guess think more so that kind of posthumous record that came out recently. It is very hyper and it is very pop. And Mark, would you like to list some sick bars?
Ooh. Better still making the squares at the circle. If these niggas bosses tell me who to work, cause these niggas lurking, these niggas may believe in her that the one up in South, look for the Evanescence, was microphone checking a seven, no half stepping, pull the weapon on Reverend and tell him run a collection, even take for a second, I'm taking his ass to heaven.
Bars.
Okay, and, number here, like a lush rush, came everybody and called in, these niggas want to smoke like 20 twin, used to be hit with the bricks like Depot at the end. Okay. Yeah, there's some good company, and given that in the past few years, Danny Brown's gotten sober, which you know, good for him. And they come up with something, and come up with stuff like this is like, oh yeah, this will work. Like him going hyperpop is, like we know Danny Brown is like he's somebody who always think like outside the box, like. He's somebody that always knows what I would do, and this works. Like this absolutely works. And I will say this, like during the end, I'm thinking, wait, you saw something with Warp? I thought he left Warp, or I don't know, because I thought he left Warp, or am I thinking of something? Because like I see the logo at the end, like oh, okay, he's still with them. I don't know what's going on, but okay.
Hang on. Let me double check. Because what label was Quaranta on? Yeah, that was a Warp 1 too.
Yeah. I thought he was on his own.
Oh, no, yeah. Dude, he's been with Warp for like a decade still.
Yeah. Yeah, because the first release he did with them was Chelsea Exhibition. Which... It's been 9 years since that came out.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Time is a bitch.
New album in November. Fantastic. And folks, if you look in the dictionary and find the definition of we're so back, then this is what it would be. Yes, I kind of cribbed this from the latest Mike the Snare deep discog dive video, only because he's a better writer than I am. As is Danny Brown with the line, they woke me up inside like they listened to Evanescence, which is just fantastic.
Man, can't wait for more bars like that.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah, that's about it for the new songs. And we only have one news topic to get into here. So, time to talk about football. Because, yeah, it seems to be the talk of the social medias and also the offices of places. Alex, help me out here. I don't know shit about this stuff.
We don't know who's good. We know who's bad. We don't know who's good. We had a game on Sunday night that was, let's just say there were no winners. There were no losers, but there were no winners. It was a 40-40 tie that ended at like 12:15 in the morning on Sunday night.
Good Lord.
Terrible time management.
Well.
Yeah. So, yeah, that game sounds like it was a mess. But, of course, there was one important announcement coming out of it as we're inching closer and closer to February. Specifically, February 8, 2026, when the next Super Bowl is going to take place. We, of course, got the announcement of who's going to be the next performer for the halftime show that year. And apparently it's going to be Puerto Rican superstar Bad Bunny. Okay, then.
Now, okay. This is interesting for a couple reasons. Number one, the star power, obviously. Number two, he's sort of taken himself away from touring America for very obvious reasons.
Yeah.
He recently did a gigantic residency in Puerto Rico, which the last show actually aired live on Amazon Prime, so that was pretty cool. And in regards to this, all of the right people are very mad about this. Did I say, too bad.
And guess what, motherfuckers? One of the songs he sings are in Spanish. They're going to learn Spanish. Fucking motherfuckers.
And it's going to be in Santa Clara, South Bay, 49er faithful. I've seen those crowds.
Yeah.
They're a very cultured crowd.
Yeah, in the faith, all the motherfuckers that are mad at King of Sambo, I don't understand them. Well, guess what? Now you won't, period, with this one, because he's not even speaking the same language.
So, yeah, that's going to be happening, and the only opinion I have on all this is that Bad Bunny has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever, i.e. be performing his set, and then at some random point in the middle, bring out Kendrick Lamar and do a bilingual performance of Not Like Us again! Emmy number two! I'm just saying, he can make it happen.
Also, I said that. It ain't the first time Bad Bunny has shared Super Bowl stage because he has guests in the 2020 halftime show with Shakira and J Lo around that time.
That was the first time Roc Nation took over duties for the halftime show, and they're still doing it. So yeah. Y'all know who to thank for this.
Yeah. This black artist there, this brown artist there, yeah, it could be black and brown. if you're still doing this shit, because half of y'all who try to think who will be there is like, really? Because some of y'all for this is like who would do it are like. They are not going to do just because, okay, I'll just get out of the way. There is no motherfucking way Taylor Swift is going to do the damn thing just because she's guy from the Kansas City
no,
Chiefs.
No. And I've seen how they're playing. They've been, they may not even make it to the Super Bowl with the way they're playing because they're kind of hot and cold.
And then there's rumors of Adele and Miley Cyrus, which Adele at the Super Bowl.
Y'all remember 10 years ago when they brought out Coldplay?
And that was so sauceless.
They had to bring Beyonce back for it just to give it a little bit of spark.
So Rock Nation's doing the right thing. It's the right thing by bringing somebody that's not just sauceless. Because most of you motherfuckers they're talking about how come they insert Rock Band here? Because I'm pretty sure, and no disrespect, I don't think anybody gives a shit.
Yeah, the cultural zeitgeist, it peaked when was Shinedown, Sound of Madness, 2008? It's been a while.
Man, I'm sure glad I don't emotionally invest in football discourse. I feel like I'm saving my sanity a ton of pain by doing that.
You are better off.
And also, I want to add... If Benny Moss for some reason was running Rock Nation, we just say, you know what, fuck it, you know, fucking get Danny Brown and Jimmy Mafia to do the fucking Super Bowl show. You gonna be scared the whole worldwide.
It'll be a world record in hoes scared. Guinness.
And you know, if I do shit, you're wondering, what the fuck is wrong with this motherfucker? Why you got Griselda on the Super Bowl list? You got to talk about WF. You got Bruiser Wolf. Why you mixing dope rapping Christine the Queens for some shit? Why you mixing... Also got Danny Brown, 20XCX. You, what the hell?
We're getting off track here. We're delving way off into the deep end. We gotta corral this shit back in line.
Okay, stop. I'm just saying.
The point is, good for Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Good for Bad Bunny, and Jesus Christ, he's 31. That's how old I am. Anyway, we'll find out what all that business is going on, as well as, at some point, who's actually playing the Super Bowl. But until then, that does it for the news. Let's move on to the last thing we got to touch on here before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of October 3rd, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Author and Punisher with Nocturnal Birding. For the band Thrice, we have the album Horizons West. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, guys, but there's a new Red Jumpsuit Apparatus album coming out this Friday.
Wait, again? X's
for Eyes.
Again, did this album a couple months back, or am I...
It's been like 6 years.
Oh, I mean, I keep hearing the name every... I've heard the name one time this year, but I don't know.
Anyway, there's the new album from AFI with Silver Bleeds the Black Sun. From YG, there's The Gentleman's Club. And last but certainly not least, speaking of football stuff, from Taylor Swift, we have The Life of a Showgirl.
Oh, boy. Oh,
boy. Batten down the hatches.
It's good. It's good.
In two weeks when the album bomb happens, because it always takes a week.
Yeah, And this time, Liverpool said, fuck it, I'm not doing this shit. He's getting married.
Good for him.
Congrats, by the way.
Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places where I'm not yelling because the world sucks. The Discord, other Discords, my other show... Some platforms where I chime in every once in a while because the internet is just full of terrible garbage. Except for us, of course. We are good garbage.
And how? Mark, what about you?
as usual, on the Sky Blue at Max Havoc Media, and on my site, mynahyperwarrior.com, where, of course, I should be starting this week, the time of the season, fall anime lineup. And one last thing, Welcome to Zone Mental Related, because, well, the last time I posted, the soundtrack playlist, aka basically stuff I picked to guess an official, okay, maybe not an official, basically a soundtrack that I made. Two of them. Disc one, disc two. Nice. I look at my very expanded, wild music taste. You already know that.
All right. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@superresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the site on Blue Sky at Super Resolution. That URL is superresolution.com. Visit it for, written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord, where you can always chat about things and be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up on the site. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And, of course, the album roundup for September 2025. Haha, I remember the right month this time. So, yeah, until then, vaya con Dios.